Thanks so much. You may be seated. Good to have Sydney Shelby here with us today. Yay. She graduated from Generational Leadership. Remember when the Generational Leadership kids were here and dancing and singing and testifying, and Sydney was here, and so she graduated and is here for a few weeks and then back up. So she got accepted intern? Yeah, into the internship program. So she's going to be there, but we're going to see her again because they're coming back. They're going to come back, so we're excited. So Sydney, good to have you here today. If you didn't get the letter, I meant to mention this during the announcements. If you didn't get the letter that we sent out this week about the building, you know, if we don't have your address or we have your address wrong, we put several copies back there on the information table. So if you wanted to grab a copy of that and get more information as to just what exactly is going on around here as it relates to the building, that's there. And then I got a card from Grandma Verna. We all remember Verna, right? Trouble, you know, Trouble, who moved to Arkansas. And she wrote in this week and sent a gift for the building. And she said, "I love our church no matter where it is, but having a building to meet at is wonderful. Hope PG is as happy as I am." Yeah. Love to everyone. Grandma Verna to all. So that was from Grandma Verna to you guys. So we miss her face around here. John chapter number 19. We take your Bibles there. Go ahead and hit one of the lights for us. Go ahead and turn on one of the lights. And then if you don't have a Bible this morning, go ahead and lift up your hand, and we'll get a Bible for you this morning. If you don't have a Bible, this is our gift to you. If you just forgot your Bible today, go ahead and just feel free to use it for the service. Go ahead and lift up your hand. John chapter 19 is where we're going to be. I knew we were going to want to make sure we gave, you know, time that we needed for the Africa presentation stuff. So I only have 2 points on my message this morning. Each one of them is 25 minutes long, but they're only two, okay? So give me a little credit, only 2 points. No, we're gonna move things along, but I'm really excited about this series that we've been in, Seven Words, just fascinating truth and insight in thinking about what it was like for Jesus in these final moments on the cross to be thinking about. So this morning we want to key in on this third saying of Jesus, so I want to just dive right into our text, John chapter number 19. And all the Africa team members are so glad it's not in Swahili today, right? You know, English speaking service this morning. John chapter number 19, verse number 23. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture, which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, John, standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. From this passage and the other gospel accounts, we've compiled this list of seven last sayings of Jesus on the cross. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Woman, today, behold your son." And then to John, "Behold your mother." My God, why have you forsaken me?" Next week, very evangelistic message. I want to encourage you, invite your friends if you're unsure as to if they know Jesus as Savior. Very strong evangelistic message next week. "I thirst, it is finished." And then, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." All-powerful words, and today we look at the word, his mother and his friend. And I just wanted to, I thought it was a good moment just to pause and think about, you know, just, you know, because even in the midst of studying the scripture and studying about Jesus, we can lose sight of Jesus himself. We can fill our minds and we can fill our understanding with the things about Jesus, his teachings and his example. But I just really felt compelled this morning, go ahead and put that picture on the screen, you know, the picture of the crosses, and just to gaze at the cross, you know, put yourself in this moment where Jesus is dying on the cross for our sins, and to never lose sight of him. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. It's so easy to get distracted, to keep the main thing, to love Jesus, to love others, to love our neighbors as ourselves. And so I hope that, you know, as we go throughout our life today and our life this week and our life as a church and our life as we make this move into a permanent building, that it will always be about Jesus. Let's always be a Jesus people, Adventure Church. Let's always be that. Let's let that be the thing that compels us and moves us and drives us. Because if we just get filled with all this knowledge about the stuff, good stuff that he did, good stuff that he said, good stuff that he taught, miracles that he performed, and lose sight of him, then we've lost something. We've always got to keep our eyes fixed on him. So let's never lose sight of that. Let's always keep our gaze on the cross. But this morning, a couple of quick points, and they're in your bulletin if you want to make some notes there this morning. The first thing, this last word reminds us, number one, of his external focus. His external focus. I know it's amazing that the moments leading up to where we are today, and next week, you know, he turns his attention to his father. But 1, 2, and 3, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, to the criminal, today you'll be with me in paradise. To his mother and to John, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. It's fascinating to me that in this moment of grief and pain and affliction and all that he's going through on the cross, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, that his focus is on other people. It's not on himself. It's on these other people. Outward first and then inward. And man, that is such a great lesson for us. It is such a great lesson for us. Because we can be so self-consumed and self-absorbed, and this is my schedule, and it's my stuff, and they're my things, and it's my mine. And Jesus was just the antithesis of that. It was always about others first. So we see him in forgiving the crowd. Father, forgive them. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. Saving the criminal. Today you'll be with me in paradise. And now today, caring for his family. Woman, behold your son. Behold your mother. Now, it may strike us as odd today in our, you know, society and our culture today. It may sound almost disrespectful, you know. And in fact, guys, I wouldn't suggest this. You know, if I start calling my wife woman, where is dinner? Woman, where is my laundry? Woman, where is... You're going to be without a pastor. It's going to be pastoral search committee going, there she goes. She's walking out. She's walking out on me right there. I've got the scars. I bear the scars. That seems kind of odd and strange to us. But in this society, this culture, this time, very much a term of respect. Very much a term of respect. And I read one commentator, which I thought was just fascinating. It may be true. It may not be true. That it may have been Jesus. You know, because obviously Jesus is. You know, he's been nailed to the cross. He's been tried, convicted, both by Jewish authorities, Roman authorities, that he may have been trying to protect his mother's identity. You know, didn't want to, like, draw attention to the fact that, Mom, this, you know. So that may have been something that was going on, too. But very much a term of respect. And as the oldest child, Jesus was responsible. Jesus was responsible for the care of his family, for the care of his mother. We don't know what happened to Joseph. We assume that Joseph has passed away. The Bible just silent, so we'll be silent as well. But it was Jesus' responsibility to take care of his mother, to take care of his family. And there are many in this room that have borne that responsibility. As parents start getting older in age, and there are medical issues, and there are housing issues, and there are things of that nature. And it's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to take care of our parents, to take care of those that one day took care of us. I remind that of my kids all the time. Like, one day you're going to be changing my diaper. Remember all the stuff that I did for you, because one day you're going to be, I'm going to need you. So get a nice house with a pool and, you know, whatever it takes, okay? So there's a lesson there for us. We need to take care of our families. Look over at Philippians chapter number 2. This is a familiar text that is often cited as a reminder of what it means to have our focus, you know, in an external way. The first 8 verses, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So Jesus is the ultimate example of what it means to not be like, hey, serve me, serve me, serve me. No, he came to serve. It was not about what was going on with him. It was what is going on with other people and how can I be used to benefit and help and serve other people. And man, may that motivate us. May that drive us. May that kind of passion really fuel us as we think about where we are in our homes, in our communities, at our jobs, no matter where we are there to make a difference in the lives of other people. We are God's ambassadors. We are his hands. We are his feet. And Jesus, this last word, reminds us of his external focus. Because we have to constantly beat against our internal, fleshly, natural desire to make everything about us and just to become selfish and self-centered and self-absorbed. So it reminds us, number one, of his external focus. Number two, this last word reminds us of the value of community. It reminds us of the value of community. Because as believers in Jesus Christ, we are family. We are a family. We are brothers and sisters. You know, that's kind of old school, and you know, maybe you grew up in a church. I grew up in a church, Baptist church like that. It was brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, right? How many of you grew up in a church like that? How many of you have been in a church like that? Yeah, it's brother so-and-so, all right? And, you know, we still, you know, slip that into our vernacular, but it's not quite as, you know, prevalent as it once was. But the fact that we don't use that kind of language as much in no way diminishes the truth that as a child of God, God is our Father, and we are brothers and sisters. We are family. We are a family. And this attitude that we have about our own personal families, our children, our parents, our siblings, cousins, nieces, whatever, we bring that into our spiritual relationships and we become a community. Life is better together. Life is better together. And if you don't believe that, if you don't believe that life is better with other people, check out this video.
Hanging around in the rain, playing the same little game. I'm only hoping to get to see you. Looking around as if I had something I had to try. When all I want to do is see you. I'll say it was chance and ask you to dance. And that will start our romance. And after all I've been through, just to get close to you, I know that you will love me too.
I love the kid on the teeter-totter. That's my favorite. Like, there's nobody to teeter-totter with me. Think about everything you do in your life. Think about, you know, and I know there are times like, oh, I just need like some solitary space. I just want to be alone. But think about if you really were alone. Think about how radically different your life would be if you were completely alone and isolated. We weren't built to function that way. We were built and we were designed to live in community. And certainly as a family of believers of Jesus Christ, we are family. We are in this together. We are a family. We are a community. Think of what your family means to you. Think of what your kids mean to you. You would do anything. They're your children. They're your family. That's the kind of relationship that we seek to develop among our church family as well. The value of community. This is the bond that we share in Jesus. I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. While you're turning to 1 Corinthians 12, I'm going to read from Romans 12, and then we'll share the verses in 1 Corinthians, okay? So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you turn there, And I'm going to read Romans chapter 12. And if you want to jot these verses down to look at them later, that would be great. The header in my Bible says, marks of the true Christian. It says, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Powerful, right? Powerful, powerful words. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, as we think about community, starting in verse number 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would be the body? Where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. So as you think about the value of community, just quickly in closing, just three quick things, okay? Number one, we find strength. Number two, we find purpose. Number three, we find responsibility. Okay? There's strength in numbers. We can do more together than we can individually. Okay? There's strength. We find purpose in our mission. What are we doing? We're going the same direction. We're going down the same path. We have the same goal in mind, the same vision in mind, the same mission in mind. We're all together in strength, we're all together in purpose, and we find responsibility to one another. Just as family members, like we have a responsibility to our families, we have responsibility for one another. God gives us that is built into the DNA and structure of the church, so that we're not just a whole bunch of individual pockets. We are a family, and the physical local church represents that greater body of Christ that is global and worldwide and international, where there are believers in all corners of the globe. We are family. We are community. We are in this together. You know, it's one of the things I'm so excited about as it relates to this building project and moving into a permanent location. It's not about the building for me. It really, really isn't. And you may not believe that, but it really is the truth. It is really, it says something about us. I cannot do this on my own. Individual families in this church cannot do it on their own. This is the kind of thing that has got to galvanize us as a body, as a community of faith, as a family to say, we are all in and we're moving forward because we believe that is going to be a greater platform for us to reach our community and our world. That's what it's about. I sent the letter out this week, and we talked about it a little bit last week. to do everything we'd like to do. Chairs, sound, children's stuff, everything. $30,000. I don't have $30,000. I don't know if there's anybody in this room that has $30,000 that they can just, you know, swipe and say, here you go. But then I got a great text from somebody this week who said, you know what? If 200 people give $150, that's $30,000. And I said, think about that. Think about that. If 200 people get involved, that's what will happen. And that's just a financial example. That's just an example as it relates to the building. It carries into every aspect of the life of the church. If we are in this together, we're watching out for each other. Say, Pastor Greg, you're always talking about the importance of being in church. Now, I guess that probably makes sense, that's something that I would do, right? Be in church. And man, when you're not in church, I'm, you know, sending Facebook messages or little postcards or texts. Hey, we missed you, da-da-da-da-da, you know. Why is that? It's because you just want a big crowd in church? Well, it's always nice to have a big crowd in church. I won't lie and pretend something that I'm not. But listen, I'm your pastor. I'm your spiritual leader. Let me tell you something. As your pastor and as your spiritual leader, you have a responsibility to the people that are sitting around you. I have a responsibility to you. You have a responsibility to me. We have a responsibility to each other. And so when we're not here, we miss out. And I totally get it. I'm going to be gone in a couple weeks. I'm going down to San Diego. I took a couple weeks off for vacation. I'm not saying that, okay? And we're not about legalism here. We're about grace here, okay? I hope that's clear. But the reality is we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to each other, and the encouragement and the ironing, sharpening iron, and the opportunities that we have to minister to one another and to encourage one another are so important, so valuable. Don't ever, because the devil says it's not a big deal. Don't ever let it become so diminished in your heart, in your life. This church, you know, imagine if I've got a dinner. Do I have a dinner picture table? A dinner table picture. I think I have a dinner. You know, you're having dinner, having family dinner. Okay. You know, can you imagine what it would be like? You know, what would you think of me if I told Kayla, because she's just walking in, so I'll pick on Kayla. No, you know, Kayla stays back in her room. You know, we're all gonna have. You know, we'd be missing Kayla. I mean, I couldn't. The first week Josh was gone at boot camp, I couldn't even pray for our meal. Hey, fine. You know, we hold hands at the table. I couldn't even pray. Ask my kids. Mom has to take over because I'm the weak one. You know, I couldn't pray. Why? Because someone was missing. Someone was missing from the table. We're a family and friends. We are a family. We need one another. We need to support one another. We need to encourage one another. So we find strength in numbers. We find purpose in our mission. We find responsibility to one another. This last word reminds us of his external focus. It was always on others. And it reminds us of the value of community. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are family. I listen almost exclusively to Christian radio. Air One and K-Love, mainly Air One, but K-Love every now and again. And they've got these little 60-second, you know, they've got little, you know, pastors that come in, they do a little 60-second thing. And Greg Laurie's been on there a lot the last couple of weeks. Greg Laurie is the founder of the Harvest America movement that does, you know, they do these big crusades at Angel Stadium. They're getting ready to do one here in a couple of weeks. In Angel Stadium, they do a huge concert, and then they do another big nationwide one that we actually did last year. We were probably not going to be able to do it this year just because of all the logistics involved in our move. But Greg Laurie, Harvest America, he's been coming on and giving these little 60-second things, and he's been saying something really powerful as relates to the church. And he said, what if everyone was like me? What if everyone attended like me? What if everyone gave like me? What if everyone served like me? What would my church look like? What would my church look like if everybody did it like I'm doing it? And wow, that's just a great challenge. That's a great challenge for all of us. And again, that's not there to beat us up or make us feel guilty, but it's just a great reminder that I am a part. God's called me to this place, and I want to be a part of what God is already doing. It's a powerful reminder that we are all in this together. So remember the external focus of Jesus as he looked out upon others, as he looked upon his family. Remember the value of the community that you're a part of, your own personal families, which I know you're proud of and grateful for, but then the extended, larger church family that we're a part of here at Adventure, and then the greater family, as we prayed at the very opening of our service, of our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who are going through persecution and suffering. May God continually always be drawing us and binding us together. I am so thankful for you guys. I'm so thankful for this church. I'm thankful for the community that we're developing and that we're forming. We're still a young church. We're not even 3 years old. We're toddlers, and we're still forming that relationship, forming that community, and I'm just so grateful for the work that God is doing, and hope it excites you and helps you, and may we take that responsibility to serve one another well. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you so much for the time together this morning. What a wonderful day it's been here at Adventure Church, and not because of anything we have done, but because of your presence with us this morning. Thank you for the work of our team in Africa, and we pray even right now for Jehoshaphat and the children and all of those that are ministering into those lives on a daily basis. Lord, we thank you for the work that you're doing in our church, and I pray that you would just continue to draw us together, to bind us together. May that community be formed in our hearts, in our lives, that we truly see each other as not just attenders of a church, but as brothers and sisters, a family of God, united in purpose to reach others with the good news of Jesus Christ. Bless these, my dear friends, I pray. Give us a great afternoon, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. 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 Hey, thank you so much.